We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Pac-12 champion.
Omarui for three. Yes!
Oh, and a steal and slam for Williams.
Duarte to the basket.
The slam.
For the third time in the last 5 years, the Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
Holy three. Goal! Hey, holy ball!
Left wing. Pow, pow.
Yeah, boom, boom.
Regular season champions. And now Pac-12 tournament champions.
Welcome to Duck Insider.
We're just getting started.
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
Hello. Happy Friday, everybody. Thanks for joining us. A lot to get to today. Even without any Oregon athletic events coming up this weekend. It's been a long time since we haven't had any Oregon athletic events over the weekend. And I'll tell you, I'm immediately thinking back to where we all were in September as we thought we were gearing up for a football season, August. Then we got into October and it was like, okay, we got some things to talk about. But, you know, the last time that we didn't have an Oregon athletic event over a weekend, it seems like it was forever ago. We've had so much going on with a lot of different things, including Oregon football, Oregon men's basketball, Oregon women's basketball. But now, if you're just joining us, Oregon men's basketball still on a pause. The Ducks were supposed to play last night and were supposed to play tomorrow against the Arizona schools. Those games have been postponed, and we're still awaiting new dates for those two games. Elsewhere, Oregon women's basketball did play last night. We'll talk about it. Coach Graves, as you can imagine, is... not stoked, not in a great mood on his birthday, actually, last night. We'll talk about that. But the Oregon women were supposed to play Arizona State coming up this weekend, but with Arizona State on a COVID pause themselves, that means that the Ducks are off this weekend. So no basketball this weekend.
Very strange.
There is some Pro Ducks activity with NFL football and NBA basketball, but yeah, it feels weird. And then, of course, with it being a three-day weekend with Martin Luther King Day coming up on Monday, everything just feels a little off. It's almost like we're resetting now as we head into next week. We'll still have Tip-Off Tuesday for you coming up on Tuesday. Duck Insider back with you on Tuesday. And Oregon volleyball head coach Matt Ulmer is going to join us because although there's no athletic events this weekend, there are practices going on. Oregon soccer, Oregon volleyball, two sports traditionally played in the fall, gearing up for a new spring season. And we'll talk about all of that coming up with Matt Ulmer, and we'll talk about all of that coming up. We talked about it yesterday with Graham Abel, and we have some fun things in store for Coach Ulmer, as you can imagine. Those of you who have heard from him or heard our interviews with him in the past, we like to have a little bit of fun. There is a scoreboard in the studio. It's on Scott Phillips, his right shoulder. He's got a whiteboard that we've used for a number of different things. Scott used to write some phrases and some key notes. I don't know.
When we had competition going on.
So we've got the scoreboard, which is Dillard, assistant coach, one. To be honest with you, I don't remember a score. We'll have to go back to our interview with Coach Dillard to KG is us. We'll see that on the post-game interview coming up. Wait, Mitchell Lee just said our radio on the radio side. Mitchell Lee, go on the air with us if you could, not just in my ear. Oh, well, okay, Mitchell said that the internet was being messed up. I was really hoping that Mitchell was like, I know.
That's what I thought.
I know what Coach Dillard said. Mitchell, you don't remember what Coach Dillard said in her interview, though?
I don't recall.
I guess that's a no. Anyway, well, thank you. And I could tell that was the on-air version of Mitchell. So, all right, to give you the behind the scenes a little bit, I can hear Mitchell in my ears without him being on the air. But when Mitchell actually goes on the air, it's like this much bigger booming voice. So, Mitchell, thank you, Mitchell. I appreciate it. Matt Ulmer's going to join us anyway. That's what I'm trying to say, and that's going to be a fun conversation along with some products news. And we also sat down with Mike Jorgensen today. We'll air that interview coming up on Tuesday. Just kind of a full review of Oregon football and heading into next season. We've got that for you coming up on Tuesday with Mike Jorgensen. But let's talk a little bit about women's basketball. And I know, fans, that wasn't what the Ducks wanted. That wasn't certainly what everybody wanted to see. And I do 100% agree with Benjamin that you can see how frustrated coach is based on the rubbing of the eyes and the head. And it's like, you know, you'll see that a little bit coming up. So it was a rough start. A 22-7 first quarter lead for Arizona. And I was surprised. I should back up. I wasn't surprised that Arizona came out firing and came out hot. They were at home, nationally televised game on ESPN, a chance to really show the growth of that program. And it's been well documented that heading into this matchup, Arizona under Adia Barnes in her fifth season had never beaten Oregon, the only school in the Pac-12 that she hadn't beaten, actually. And none of the players on the Arizona roster had beaten the Ducks either. Oregon had beaten them up pretty good the last few years, and I think that there was a lot of pent-up, you know, let's go target the Ducks and, you know, and aim for that bullseye in the middle of the O, and, well, that's what happened early. I did think the way Oregon responded in the second quarter, though, that also didn't surprise me. You know, the Ducks started to hit some shots, used a couple different defenses. They went into man. They went into zone. And really the difference was when both teams started turning the ball over and it got kind of ugly, when Oregon was already down, I thought that was the difference, and that was kind of the turning point. Because the Ducks started the second quarter on 11-4 run, and then it was just turnover, 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 turnover. You know, it wasn't it wasn't a very fun basketball game to watch. There were a bunch of foul calls that, frankly, didn't go Oregon's way. I was engineering for Terry and Bev, and Bev kind of, on one of them, let's just say Bev goes, yeah, I thought that was pretty good D there on Taylor Chavez. You know, that was well done. But the official, of course, went toot and raised the hand. There was also one where Sedona Prince got called for a charge when the Arizona player was clearly in the restricted zone, and it's like,
you're not going to get every call. I don't mean to dwell on this and make it about the officials, but I'm looking back at my notes and I'm going, that was one that didn't go Oregon's way. Ducks were on an 11-4 run. That's another one that didn't go Oregon's way. And then it kind of snowballed from there. I think there's a couple takeaways, though, and the reason I bring that up is, and how you handle that, is Coach Graves was upset. I mean, he got a technical foul. It was 36-22 at the half in favor of the Wildcats after the Ducks got within 8 points. And I felt like when Oregon got within 8 points, that was when the Ducks showed their youth. It was one of the youngest teams in the conference, one of the youngest teams in the country, and it looked to me like that was when Arizona showed the veteran presence, because Oregon had opportunities to get back in the game. Foul calls weren't going their way. They were turning the ball over, and then that young team just didn't overcome that adversity. And I think that's what frustrated Coach Graves the most. And we'll hear from him coming up in just a moment. Not a happy birthday for Coach Graves with that 57-41 loss. But look, you got to learn from it now. So how do you handle the pressure from a team like Arizona that came out swinging? Oregon's young team is learning that lesson right now. I did think they looked young. But a couple other things to keep in mind, and you'll hear Coach Graves talk about this in a moment. Yaroslavly looked like a vet. 15 points, 7 rebounds, but 3 of 9 at the free throw line. Bev Smith said it last night that as good as Niara is, the free throw portion of her game still needs to come forward and move along. And she also turned the ball over 6 times. Ducks turned it over 23 times as a team, leading to 26 points off turnovers for Arizona. And what do you know? That's kind of the difference in the game. You don't turn the ball over that much. I think that you're doing well. So, Niara Sobley is the only player in double figures, and then just looking through the rest of it, right? So, Taylor Mikesell, a newcomer to the Ducks, but a veteran, right, has played at this level after transferring in. She went 0 of 2 from 3, had no points in 17 minutes. Aaron Boley, no points, only attempted 1 field goal in 12 minutes. Taylor Chavez off the bench, 23 minutes, 5 points. I thought that she brought some defensive intensity, but those are your veterans. And Arizona, at least from my amateur seat, looked those veterans right in the eye, said, you're not going to beat us, it's going to have to be the freshmen. And then it didn't go Oregon's way. So I think you learn from that. I think that you need some of the veterans to step up, and I think the freshmen got an unfortunate lesson in this game. So you learn from it. Got to limit turnovers, got to learn to handle that pressure, and you got to get the offense going. Oregon only scoring 41 points is an oddity. I mean, you don't have that happen, right? And Coach Graves talked about that. We'll have that for you coming up in a moment. All right, so what does this mean? Well, it's an uphill battle for a Pac-12 title now, but it's still doable. Ducks are fourth in the league, but they have 7 of the next 11 at home. So the opportunity is there. Keep winning some games. Arizona went on the road and lost to Washington State. I believe Stanford still has to go to Washington State. Crazier things have happened in the Pac-12, but it is an uphill battle for the Ducks now. And I will say I don't think Coach Graves and his team are very, very worried about that. They're just trying to worry about next week. Coach won't use this as an excuse, but it is still a young team that's learning. And he said it last night. They played young. The positive news, this is the first game that we saw Sedona Prince in since December at Washington State. She was on a minute restriction. We knew heading into the game that she was going to get some run, and she did. And I thought that without practicing all week to get her in there, and she still looked like the Sedona Prince that we expect, if she's able to work her way back, be healthy, huge, huge for the Ducks. I actually said yesterday, and this wasn't just me being coy, like this wasn't me trying to, if anybody from Arizona was listening, to like throw them off. I was surprised that Sedona was out there. You know, there hadn't really been an indication, and you know, Terry Johns and I are the first to say this is a very different year. We're not around the teams as much as we usually are. But it was surprising to me to see her out there. So that was good to see her out there. Benjamin following up, he not only rubs his head during interviews, but the court side as well, absolutely. Coach Graves pulls no punches. He's very honest. And we all know that. Jack, though, this is also cool. Hoping to visit the campus this April. 77th birthday for Jack, class of 1975. Jack, when was the last time you were on campus? Because he said so many changes. I'll be honest with you, I graduated in 2014. If I didn't work here, and I was coming back to campus, I'd be like, yeah, there's a lot of changes. You know, Bean Hall, the dorms have been rebuilt. The new Hayward Field, Jane Sanders Stadium, the Student Rec Center, the Knight Campus. Updates to a few other academic buildings around campus. I mean, yeah, there's been so many changes to Oregon. I remember when I was in school and Allen Hall got its renovation, the journalism school. And there were people that came back for the opening of Allen Hall, which happened when I was a sophomore. And it was like, whoa, this is awesome, you know. Journalism school was actually housed in the old Bach Festival building across from Hayward Field there for a couple years. That was where I had my first journalism class, was actually in the old elementary school on, what is that? I'm trying to remember what street that is. I'm blanking. Help me. Hayward Field is on the street. Alder? It's not Alder. You can't remember either? How long have you worked here?
I don't pay attention to that.
Agate, thank you. God, that was embarrassing. That was a senior moment right there from a...
We just haven't been down there to cover any events in so
long. I know.
I forget.
Shoot, when was the last time I was on Agate Street? I lived on Agate Street for a while.
Well, you go there for Hayward. You go usually pass it for...
The Humpy Lumpy Lawn used to be there.
Yeah, that's gone, right?
Yeah, they're building things on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress. Quick timeout. Jeez, that was embarrassing. I still remember my dorm address and what dorm number I was in, but I couldn't remember the name of the road. My sister just sent me a text, Agate. She's like, and my sister didn't even go to Oregon. And she said, even I knew that.
Oh, everybody who's watching or listening is like, Agate!
Sorry,
yelling.
Everybody. Wow. That, I will say, that street hasn't changed, okay? That's not just me. Or no, I should say, that is just me.
Yeah.
We need to take a break.
All right.
When we come back, Kelly Graves. Look, an honest conversation with Kelly Graves post-game. Also, some updates to the NCAA and how they're going to be doing the bracketing for March Madness this year. It actually just makes so much sense. Back after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Hi, welcome to the Spicy Drive-In. May I take your order?
Can I get the spicy chicken sandwich, please?
The spicy chicken is an excellent choice, sir. And to drink?
Whatever's fine.
Oh, may I make a beverage pairing recommendation this evening?
Sure.
If we are feeling especially bold tonight, sir, I would recommend the Mountain Dew with that. It's bravely unrestrained with a very alive aroma that pairs wonderfully with your spicy chicken. It's followed by a hint of zesty citrus flavor.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
I'm sure you already know this, sir, but remember to appreciate the nose first by giving the Mountain Dew a little swirl to really volatize it.
What?
To change the flavor compounds and activate your taste buds to get them fully primed for that chicken sandwich.
Ah, it's delicious.
Now you're getting the hang of it. The muscular flavor charge characteristics of Mountain Dew make for an absolutely epic mouthfeel when paired with spicy cuisine. It is quite on point, sir.
Dude, it's a perfect match. Like they were made for each other.
So true, so true.
When you want to make good food bolder and bold food better, do the Dew.
Your daily dose of Oregon athletics. This is Duck Insider from Learfield IMG College.
Hey everyone, let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see? Every moment can be kind of special. But they can be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments, it doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in the back of your closet. What happened to us? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Okay, maybe I never really fit you right, but I got a lot more Sunday Fundays left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Back
Back on Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Calling all cookie lovers, Crumbl Cookies has a rotating menu. Over 120 flavors that change out weekly. Come see Crumbl Cookies in Eugene off of Coburg Road. Thomas says 310 More Bean was his dorm room. 1970 to 1971. That's pretty cool. I still remember mine, too. Jack said the last time he visited Oregon, 1980, Villard Hall still had bats flying around. Yeah, there's always some stories like that, right? Meanwhile, Oregon women's basketball, look, we know that now this is a game that in some ways you flush it, but you can't completely flush it without learning from it. And I think that that's what the Ducks are doing over the next now 24 hours or so. Coach Graves met with the media. He started on the postgame show with Terry Johns and Bev Smith, and he had a very honest conversation about what the Ducks didn't do well and how Arizona took it to them in that 57-41 loss. Now, how did the Ducks learn from that? Coach Graves on that, and as you can imagine, a whole lot more.
Arizona kind of had their way with you today.
They did. Yep, they were the aggressors. We played on our heels the whole game. We played scared. We turned the ball over. Really, there was very little good that came out of the game. I did think that our defense, by and large, was pretty good. That's something that we can build on. But, you know, I'm an offensive coach, and I don't think I've ever had a team that looked that undisciplined and scared ever, maybe since community college, and even most of my community college teams could have put up 41.
Yeah, Coach, one of those games where you just want to make some closing remarks, and then you got to move on and learn from those lessons, that's for sure. And I think they just did play a little bit too fast. And, you know, it's learning in the heat of the fire for this young team. And I think you guys, as a coaching staff, will take them through those hard lessons and get them out on the other side of this to perform a little bit better. They know what's coming at them, and they know and can feel that pressure that maybe you haven't been able to assimilate in practice.
No, we don't. We can't simulate it. You know, that's the bottom line. We can't simulate it, but that's no excuse. Our kids know better than to, you know, some of the times couldn't even get the ball inbound. Seriously? You know, your kids' sports kids know how to get the ball inbounds against pressure. I'm really disappointed. I was at a loss, and it wasn't just one or two. It was basically everybody. We had a couple of bright spots. We put, you know, some possessions together here or there. I'm not saying it was all negative, but we got to play better, you know, and thank God it was on national TV. That was good.
Kelly, recognizing that youth is a factor, but it's not an excuse. What do you go back to and turn to in terms of you can't crack the whip all the time to get the message across? So what lessons, what times in your past do you turn to? Is it the year from when Sabrina and Ruthie were freshmen? Do you go back to the lessons that you learned then of how to get this corrected so that the second time around in the league schedule, these aren't the results against the top teams?
I hope, yeah. I mean, we had some games like that back then. I just think we're too good to have that right now. I mean, I'm sorry. How do you get 100? You score 100 on Cal. I get it. Cal's not Arizona, but at the same time, you know, I just think we play really well as front runners. But when things get tough and teams get physical against us, we have not shown that we can respond consistently. We've just got to get better at that. Yes, we do. You know, that goes without saying. That was kind of a meaningless comment, really. I think we just watched 40 minutes of that. You know, again, we just got to recenter our thinking. We got to make practices more competitive. I think the time has come for me to really just kind of tighten the rotation and say, you know what, this is what we're going with. If you're not in the rotation, work harder and find a way in, find a way to contribute. And I'm trying to keep, you know, a lot of kids happy and give them a chance. And I get it. This is what I wanted to do. But I thought it showed its ugly head tonight. And we just never got any kind of rhythm. And we were on our heels all night, James.
Another game where the third quarter wasn't much better. I think out of the second quarter, you guys showed some things, cut to 7, and then that third quarter was just as bad as the first. You know, is that kind of part of what makes it so frustrating?
Well, you know, but I thought tonight we defended well enough to win this game. So when you say it was the third quarter, well, you know, we defended well, I thought, for the most part. We had a couple of lapses here and there. I thought we did a good job on Airy until late that second quarter. But the third quarter, we came out, we got, you look at our first few possessions, I thought we got decent looking shots. We got, you know, good shots. We made some stops, back-to-back stops. We just couldn't, since our offense was so ugly, we just couldn't couldn't get back in it. But we had the opportunity to. Our free throws were awful. We missed some pretty good looks early. We didn't shoot it well from range. And credit Arizona, man. They put pressure on you. They make it hard. They run everything that they want, you know. But when we try to run something, we can't even get the ball in bounds or can't get it to a wing to initiate the offense. Or when we try to set a screen, we're pushed. And, you know, and then we get called for the offensive, the bad screen. So just a lot of things we've just got to get better at and pay attention to those details.
Kelly, are you surprised that some of your older players that have proven it before, Boley and both Taylors, are kind of struggling as well right now?
Yep. Bottom line is they got to get better. They got to do better for us. In these kind of games, we need them. And that didn't happen tonight.
Kelly, I was going to ask just about Sedona and getting her back for minutes. I know she only had 1 point, and I think she could have had more if a charge was called a block. But what did you see from her and her limited opportunity there and kind of the progress she's had?
I'm just glad she got her feet wet. She had to come back. She hadn't even practiced. So, I mean, we threw her out there today after maybe 10 minutes total of practice. So, you know, she doesn't have the strength. She wasn't able to get deep position. They're really physical. We didn't do a good job of getting it to her. Heck, we couldn't get it to the second line of our offense all night long. But I'm just glad she got some time. And, you know, she'll be better with each game.
Coach, I remember at the Pac-12 tournament last year, you made a comment about Arizona being a team to be concerned about this coming season. So what are your thoughts about how Adia's team is, you know, what they showed tonight? It's the first time she's been able to beat Oregon in her career. Just your comment about how Arizona's progressed.
They lost last game. They beat us. That's all I can, you know. They're a good team. They've got veterans. They've got grad transfers. They've got, you know, Aaron McDonald's a fifth-year senior who's going to go top five in the draft. I mean, they have a really good team, and they play really hard. So, you know, like you said, she's never beaten us, but now she has, and she beat us really well. So, yeah, they've got a good team. You know, they're right in the thick of it, I guess, and, yeah.
I was just going to ask you just kind of globally now, looking at the season, I know it's a lot of games left, but in terms of winning a fourth straight conference championship, it's going to be an uphill battle. Just kind of how have you addressed that with your group?
I'm not that too worried about that right now. We just got to get better. Heck, if we play like this, we're not going to win another game all year. That's the honest truth. I mean, you know, we can't be great front runners. You know, last week we put 100 up on Cal, you know, and I know Cal's not Arizona, but – you know, you can't listen. We've got to be better now. We've got to be able to win tough, hard-nosed, drag-out games. And we played young today. I coached young. I didn't coach a good game. I didn't have him prepared. But defensively, I thought we had something to build on. You know, I look, hey, we out-rebounded them by 11, but God dang, we had 23 turnovers. So there were a lot fewer shots for them to go rebound. So, you know, we'll hopefully bounce back. We better. This is gut check time.
I think it is gut check time for Oregon women's basketball. And frankly, sometimes young teams need that. You know, that's what makes you better. And you learn from that loss. All right. So now you flush it. You move on. Take a few days to practice and get ready for next week for Oregon women's basketball. That's all coming up. Next, though, joining us via the University of Oregon Alumni Association guest line is a man who is down 1-0 on the scoreboard here in the studio, Matt Ulmer. Joining us, Oregon volleyball head coach. He has no idea what I'm talking about. We're going to tell him when we come back to the Country Financial Studio after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local Country representative.
You're listening to Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy. And you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joy Mack here with you, and Matt Ulmer is joining us via the University of Oregon Alumni Association guest line. First of all, Coach Ulmer, it has been way too long since we did this, so I'm glad that you're here, and as a result, we have the patented Matt Ulmer volleyball with us. This is from Coach's first career win. He was kind enough to donate it as decoration for the studio for when he came in and did appearances. Well, unfortunately, we can't have him in the studio anymore, and so he's joining us via Zoom. And so, Matt, I guess, like, can I just, like, hold it, like, for you, like, right next to the screen? I mean, can you put your hand out real quick? And then, that kind of worked, you know? But in all seriousness, I can't wait to have you back. But first, Coach Ed, let's just start with, I mean, what the heck have you been up to? Since we last talked, you guys are now back practicing, and there's just a few things, and fist bump.
Shouldn't we do that here?
Yeah. Wait, did we come up? Wait. Okay. I'm going to hang myself by my cord here, but are you ready? No, we can't. It's difficult to do handshakes through a computer monitor.
It's been a while, too.
It has. Do you remember the handshake exactly?
Not a chance. No.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad that I'm not the only one. He let me off the hook there on that one. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, this is Matt Ulmer. He's the Oregon volleyball head coach. We like to have a lot of fun. Are you wearing socks and sandals?
I'm wearing socks.
That's good. That's halfway there, I guess.
A little chilly for the sandals.
Fair enough. Yeah, you know, I understand. So we were trying to remember exactly what the scoreboard reflected. But we have it here in the studio, and Matt, you'll be able to see it if you look in the upper right corner of your screen.
Yeah,
well,
looks nice.
It's displayed as, you know, Coach Dillard 1, Coach Ulmer 0.
Yeah.
I have not gone back into the archives to remember exactly what Erica said she was leading you in, but we know that she is in the lead.
I feel like this is one of those times where no matter what I say, I'm going to get in trouble, so I'm just going to let that go.
Wow, that is not what I expected. That is not what I expected at all. Matt Ulmer, Oregon volleyball head coach, joining us. Hey, actually, though, this is pretty cool. I do want to talk with you about this. You're joining us from your new office at Matthew Knight Arena. So first of all, I know that the launch of the new offices, it hasn't been as big as we wanted to make it because of everything going on in the world, Matt. But that being said, it got to be a pretty tremendous facility. Tell us about it a little bit.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're on the first floor. Volleyball is beach volleyball and indoor volleyball. We share the first floor, just off the practice courts. Again, I think probably the best part about it is it's an opportunity to connect with our student athletes better. Obviously, during these times, that's not as doable. We have to keep distance and can't really share the space together like we will.
Sure.
When things get better. But, you know, we're
all of our student athletes live very close to the arena. And so now this is a chance where we can be together. We can do film together in this space and just connect, you know. So it's wonderful. And then just to be over here where our athletes are and where, you know, the rest of our staff, the people we work with, is great. And then, I mean, it's just everything, you know, that we do here is just top notch. And so it tells a really nice story of our program and its history. And same with the basketballs above us. So I know we're all just really thankful for it.
Well, it's an awesome facility. I really look forward. I haven't gotten a chance to come through it yet, of course, with everything going on. And Scott and I have a path that we take from the parking lot right up to the studio every day. And then that's pretty much as far as we go in the Casanova Center these days. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. And to fill in Penny Knight, I mean, just a tremendous gift. I know, and we can't say that enough, I feel like, for everything around here. You mentioned just getting closer to student athletes, Coach. I mean, is that's got to be the coolest aspect of this, even in this landscape, in the long term. That's really going to help you guys as a coaching staff, isn't it, that you're more available to the student athletes being on campus where their classes are?
Absolutely. You know, everybody's schedules are all over the place. You know, we only get a certain amount of time to practice together during the day. So just when they want to do a quick pop in, you know, and that's the 15 minutes just to catch up and maybe go over something in practice or in the game. And this just gives us that opportunity. Just when we were in the Casanova building, you know, the athletes just weren't around us as much over there. Not that even that's that far. It's just life happens. Mm-hmm. So now we're very much more in their footprint. And so the availability is definitely better.
You need some decorations on your walls, though. So do I have to give you your ball back?
So August Rasky is going to be making me a painting that's going to go right here.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. The rest is pretty decorated. So it's just really, I picked the one white wall. So.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I mean, we're kind of used to that because I think people have figured out either they have to decorate their background super well for all their Zoom calls.
Right.
Or they just put up a Zoom backdrop and you got to have like a clear white wall to do that. So
right.
We should have, you know, what we should have done is sent you a picture of the studio and then you could have had that be your background. So it would have looked like you're here as best we could. So,
room for improvement. We can do that next time.
That's right. That's right. Always room for improvement on Duck Insider. Matt Ulmer, Oregon volleyball head coach, joining us. Tell fans about what your athletes have been up to, Coach. I mean, you guys had such a modified fall and now getting ready for an unprecedented spring season. Give fans the update. What's been going on?
Yeah, I think last time I was on, we thought we were going to play.
Yeah. Right?
It was August. So I think we thought, you know, we were a week away or a couple weeks away from reporting. And so we thought we were going to get going in the fall. And then that didn't happen. Like the next day, I feel like, is when that got pulled.
God, was it really? Did we really time that badly?
I think so. I was nervous to take this today because we booked flights. So, and I'm not saying it's you.
But you're not saying it's not me.
Correct. Yeah, I'm not saying. Exactly.
Thank you. All right. Well.
So anyway, I missed you, so I felt like it was worth it.
Thanks.
So rolling the dice, and we'll see what happens.
All right. So if I'm the equivalent of the black cat shattered mirror walking under a ladder, then we're going to find out in the next 3 days or so.
Yeah. And then I think all of this will just make sense.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know?
That tracks. Yeah. That's
It
that
could not tracks. Work out for you, but it would work out great for all of us. So.
Yeah.
Anyway,
thanks. You just made Scott roll on the floor laughing, Matt. Thank you. Thank you for that. So anyway, your athletes, though, what they do in the fall?
Yeah, so we were back. You know, we were back getting ready for season. Everybody had showed up going through isolation. And then once we found out we didn't have season, we practiced up into the week of Thanksgiving. So November 20th was our last practice. And we weren't able to do 6-on-6 at all, you know, play – actual volleyball 6-on-6, but a lot of really good skill work. And it was just great to be around each other in the gym, even if it's socially distanced with masks on, et cetera. We're just happy to be able to do what we love. So the team has done such a great job. I'm unbelievably impressed by them. Best grades we've gotten as a group in consecutive terms. And they've just been really mature and handled everything really well. Practice was very good for us. We've seen a lot of growth. We came back 2 days after Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and so started isolation again to get ready for the season. And we've had a couple weeks of practice, and now we have a scrimmage on Sunday against Oregon State.
All right.
And then we go to Pullman, and we play at Washington State on Friday and Sunday, and both are on Pac-12 Network.
Nice. I'm glad to hear that. So it sounds like then everything is trending well, which I can't say that enough. You know, that's just so – I think for everybody around here, we're just excited to see more competition getting back and going. Is practice any different now than in a regular year apart from wearing face coverings? I mean, are you guys able to do the six-on-six kind of things now? Just what's practice like now as you gear up for the season?
Yeah, now we're able to. So we've had a couple weeks of being able to be within 6 feet of each other. But, yep, definitely wearing face coverings all the time. We're going to be wearing face coverings during our matches also. Mm. So fans can get used to that. So they'll get really good at reading the eyes, you know, and the eyebrows. So, but, yeah, I mean, we've been able to the last 2 weeks. We've been able to have pretty normal practices. It's hard. You know, I don't know exactly how hard that we're able to push our athletes. You know, when it comes to training, I was the first week we didn't have our full squad. So I actually had to play the first week. Mm. And
how'd you do?
If I didn't get hurt, so I feel like that's something. and I didn't hurt anybody else.
So that's good. Good clarification.
So,
good.
So I think that's a win and win right there. You know, if it's a really long rally, it's not ideal, you know, to be in the mask, but I think, you know, we're all getting used to it. And so, you know, it's an adjustment period, but we're just really thankful to play.
Yeah. Matt Ulmer, head coach, Oregon Volleyball with us. I want to talk with you about your roster and your schedule, but can I get a timeout? I mean, you and I always talk about other things for so long that I feel like I have to keep you for two segments. Can I do that this time?
Yeah, of course.
Great. I missed Coach Ulmer. Oregon Volleyball Head Coach Matt Ulmer joining us via the University of Oregon Alumni Association guest line. More coming up. We're going to talk about the schedule ahead. He gave you a little bit of a preview of the schedule ahead. And we'll go in depth a little bit more after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Dear wallet, you can't stop any 2021 Toyota, no matter the weather. The Camry all-wheel drive comes out to play. Snowy hills don't stand a chance against the RAV4, and everyone will be comfy in the Highlander. See you in the snow. Toyota. Find yours at toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Dear wallet, you can't stop any 2021 Toyota, no matter the weather. The Camry all-wheel drive comes out to play. Snowy hills don't stand a chance against the RAV4, and everyone will be comfy in the Highlander. See you in the snow. Toyota. Find yours at toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
This is the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T. Acronym. Stands for greatest of all time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Duck Insider, presented by OnPoint Community Credit Union. Joey Mack inside the Country Financial Studio. Matt Ulmer in his new office at Matthew Knight Arena, joining us via the University of Oregon Alumni Association guest line. Coach, I'm so excited to hear that you guys are getting rolling for a scrimmage coming up Sunday, and then Pac-12 play beginning in a hurry. And I know that the conference still working out an official schedule, so fans, those of you who are wondering, keep your eyes on GoDucks.com. Hopefully a schedule sooner than later. But Coach, as I can imagine, It just like every other sport, it's probably been a little bit of a Tetris game for you, the coaching staffs, and the conference to figure out exactly what the schedule is going to look like, right? I mean, take us inside that process a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we've had since March, you know, since everything happened, we've had weekly Zoom calls with all the Pac-12 head coaches and the conference and trying to figure it all out. And again, we still don't have everything done even up till now. So it's constantly changing. And I think that's just how the season's going to be. And from the other sports, we've seen that that's definitely how it's going. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are just trying to limit exposure the very best we can. We're trying to get as many matches as we can in for our student athletes who really want to play. And so, you know, how best can we do that? And so what we decided to do is, we're not going to go like, so this weekend we start in Pullman. So we're going to play Washington State twice, Friday, Sunday, as opposed to playing Washington State, then going to Washington, and moving around. We're just going to stay in one place. So then we're in the same hotel.
Right.
And we don't have to take another trip. So we'll just do that. So that means Washington State won't come to us this year, but UW will, and we won't go to Seattle.
Got it.
So we're doing that, and we're just going to play a true round, double round robin. So we're playing both all the teams twice, which normally we only have a 20 game conference schedule. We're playing 22.
Got it.
So we'll see everybody as if we can get our games in, and then we will we'll only be at half the schools, but we feel like it's our best chance. You know, so 10 games is the minimum that you need to be tournament eligible. So
interesting.
You know, hopefully we can hit that magic number, and we're going to do everything we can so that, you know, our student athletes have a safe and good experience.
So no non-conference, correct, Matt?
Yeah. So no non-conference. And we went back and forth on that early on, but again, the coaches just felt like there was just too much risk for us to go non-conference. And some of the trips, especially that we had, and the testing is different for other schools, even regionally. So we wanted to make sure, you know, we would be very thankful if we were able to play our Pac-12 opponents this year. You know, and if we're able to do that throughout, I think that's a win.
So the sprint to 10-0 begins next weekend.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
I like that. Matt Ulmer, Oregon Volleyball head coach, joining us. All right, what about the roster, Coach? I mean, you mentioned that the student-athletes just really want to play. That's the vibe I've been getting from – you know, listening to other interviews like this around the country, obviously doing these interviews with folks like yourself, talking with student athletes. I mean, I just get the feeling that everybody, there is a risk involved. We all know that. But the competition is really what fuels a lot of these student athletes. Is that kind of what you're feeling from your team right now?
Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen another team on the other side of the net since Thanksgiving 2019.
Wow.
You know, so we are very, since the day after. So, you know, we're really ready. They put in a ton of work, and I think this group, you're not even going to recognize them, just how much they've grown. We had the talent in 2019, just not the seasoning yet. And so I think we've done what we can do in practice to get their skills up to snuff, but we need to go play. We need to go play somebody at some point. And so we're just very excited for the opportunity to go do that. And it starts Sunday for us. So.
Break it down for us on your roster. I mean, some leaders, some folks that you've been really happy with heading into this new look season.
Yeah, well, Taylor Borup's back and healthy. So the last time she played for us was the Elite Eight in 2018.
Right.
She was a big part of that run for us. So it's great to have her. Just a really calming presence for everybody, and she can just play the game really well. And she's a leader. So just having her out there is huge. Brooke Nundeviller has done an amazing job just getting in even better shape than she's been and trying to become a more prolific attacker and score. I think we're going to be able to give her a lot more help this year in the serve receive department, so then she can work on scoring more. We just have a lot more depth and quality depth than last time you saw us. So no Ronica and Willow anymore. They're gone, and they're playing pro, and they're doing great. But the rest of the roster is back, as well as three freshmen, Taylor Borup returning, and then Gloria Mutiri, who's a transfer from Kansas State, and she's a big-time player on the opposite. So she'll remind you of Willow because she's got the left arm and is a really pretty swing and but she's again, we just got a lot older in a year since the last time we played. So we're just a much more mature playing volleyball team. We're not panicking. We're just excited to go play a little bit. So.
Break down the setter position for us. I know that's one that's near and dear to your heart.
Yeah. Kylie Robinson and Elise Ferreira, you know, they got their first taste of action in 2019. And again, I think it's just a really difficult year because of just how thin we were at the pin position. So normally you rely on your left side attackers a lot, and we were just pretty inexperienced there, and we asked a lot of Nunaviller. So all of a sudden we have a lot of options for these guys to set and a much more stable passing rotation. So it's just a calmer atmosphere than it was then. And I think we have a lot of really good pieces, and it's a matter of just them gelling together and learning how to play together.
What's the competition like in the Pac-12 this year? Break down the conference.
Yeah, well, Stanford's the defending national champ. So
ho-hum.
You know, they lost a lot, but, you know, they always have just really great talent and depth. And so they'll be younger, but just but they're still, I don't know how you, they can't be the favorite until it's done. Right. So you got Stanford, Utah pretty much returns most of their team. And they were in the Elite Eight 2 years ago, I believe. And I think they're got maybe the favorite. They're right up there as well as UCLA. So the top three, I would say, are those three. Washington's always very good. USC is young but very talented also. Go down the list. I mean, everybody's always good, right? So everybody's a potential tournament team. So it's that's no different. The difference this year is we just won't have non-conference opponents to see how many people will get in the tournament. Right. And our tournament will be 48 teams as opposed to 64.
So how's that going to work with opening rounds? And, I mean, have you guys gotten any word on where the tournament will be? I mean, are we even there yet, Matt? Am I asking questions that don't have answers yet?
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
I think it's similar to, like, basketball. You know, they didn't know the bubble was going to happen until the season was already underway, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, even though maybe that was talked about, that's been thrown around for us. I think there's going to be designated sites for hosting. As opposed to, you know, if you're a top 16 seed, you get a host.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that'll be a change, whether that's the first two rounds and then we go somewhere or it's that way throughout until the Final Four. But the Final Four and the championship is supposed to be still in Omaha, which is where it was going to be. If the bubble goes well for basketball, maybe that'll happen for volleyball also.
And the top 16 then in a 48-team bracket would get a bye, correct?
Correct. Yeah, in the first round, yeah.
So you really want to be in that top 16 is what you're telling me.
It's nice.
Yeah.
That's a nice perk, definitely.
Okay, the sprint to 10-0, and then how about, you know, 22-0?
That's it. Keep rolling.
That'd be nice. Matt Ulmer, head coach, Oregon Volleyball. Coach, I got to tell you, I could talk to you for hours. We'll have to do this again as you guys gear up for the season. Good luck with your scrimmage against Oregon State on Sunday. Looking forward to hearing how it goes. And then if we don't talk to you, safe travels up to Pullman. I know that's going to be a lot of fun, but probably some nerves to get back out on the floor for your squad.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Hey, and you can come back for your ball anytime, okay? I promise.
Having a piece of me with you.
Thanks, man. Us too. We've taken really good care of it.
It does look good. Okay. That's what
Sorry.
I thought.
Sorry. Thank you, though, Coach, in all seriousness, and we appreciate it, and good luck.
Thanks, bud.
All right, we're going to get a quick timeout. When we come back, you know, we're talking about postseason. NCAA today announced some different bracketing guidelines for March Madness this year. And it actually makes a lot of sense. We're back after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a country financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
More Duck Insider coming up on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Tweens have mastered the art of tuning out. Jen, there's a spider in the car. We're turning your room into a home gym. See? Nothing. But some messages need to get through. Like making sure they're buckled up the whole ride, every time. Do whatever it takes to make your child listen. Jen, I friended your boyfriend.
Wait, what?
Buckle up, sweetie.
Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
To buy your home, you became a house hunting ace. Learned about loans, scoured neighborhoods, and asked the right questions. Now you're queen of your castle. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll feel empowered to own your retirement like you own your home. Go to aceyourretirement.org. Because when it comes to clearing financial hurdles, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Oregon Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joy Mack with you inside the Country Financial Studio. Thanks to Matt Ulmer for joining us via the University of Oregon Alumni Association guest line. Every Thursday at Hoodoo, you can ski and ride from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. for only $25. Check out Hoodoo.com, and they'll see you next week at Hoodoo. Go Ducks. So we've got some updates to the men's basketball schedule. Still on a pause for team activities with the three games now being postponed. The Arizona games don't have makeup times for yet. The UCLA game, instead of being played in Eugene, unfortunately, is going to be played on February 1st in L.A. The Ducks were already scheduled to be in Los Angeles that weekend playing UCLA, then USC. Now it's going to be a in Los Angeles road game for the Ducks on February 1st against UCLA. That's one of the changes to the now 9-2 Oregon men's basketball schedule. And then Oregon State, we've got a tip-off time. The Ducks hope to be able to resume practice next week. January 23rd, 7:30. Next Saturday, the Ducks would play the Beavers. That's the schedule ahead. And then we also do have tip-off times for the L.A. road trip that I alluded to. It's going to be a ESPN broadcast when the Ducks will play UCLA at 6 o'clock on January 28th. And then on Saturday, at 2:30, the Ducks will play USC in L.A. on the 30th. That one will be televised on Fox. And then Monday's game against UCLA will be on ESPN2 at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which means for us, no Duck Insider on that Monday the 1st because we'll be doing a basketball game. I know that it's tough on fans who are working, but I got to say I kind of like the matinee basketball because it puts the Pac-12 in a national spotlight around the entire country. And I think there's a balance there, right? Because I also know fans, it's tough when you're working at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. What, you know, how are you supposed to watch and how are you supposed to tune in? I will say, you know, I highly encourage you to turn it on the radio and turn it on TuneIn or the Go Ducks app, and you can listen and, you know, maybe have a little headphone in your ear while you're Zooming with people. I mean, yeah, you know, multitasking. Not that I've ever done that. If Kelly Shuchard is watching, sorry. Men's basketball also going to be using some different bracketing guidelines for 2021. So the Men's Basketball Committee adopted these new principles that are going to go into effect for 2021. It actually makes a lot of sense. As a result of the entire tournament being played in Indiana, so normally you'll remember when they do the 68-64 team bracket, 68 with the first four, 64 team bracket, it's usually a little bit geography based, right? Like they could swap a 7 seed maybe that's really like the overall top 7 seed. They could swap them to be like the number 4 overall 7 seed. You guys get what I'm getting at with the way the bracket breaks down. A lot of times that's based on geography. It's to kind of keep teams potted up, and that's just the way that it works. Well, now it's not going to go that way. It's just going to be, because everybody's in the same location, it's just going to be a straight, this is the ranking. This is 1 through 68. So normally there would be some like geography swapping to keep teams local. Now the NCAA is saying, and I think this makes sense, right? It's just going to be like the straight seeding. So the overall number 5 seed would be placed in the same region as the overall number 4 and vice versa, right? Like you won't get those sort of, and it's not like it moves that much. And I think, you know, you're splitting hairs between teams like that, but that's the way that it's going to work this year. The NCAA announced that. Now, if you've been keeping track of GoDucks.com, which you should, Rob Mosley's been doing all of his position breakdowns and recaps of each position group. Today it was offensive line. He's covered quarterback, running back, and then the pass catchers, wide receivers, tight ends so far. Encourage you to check that out. Especially, it'll be like a little tune-up for when we talk with Mike Jorgensen coming up on Tuesday with a full football review of everything going on, what the 2021 season could look like. We're going to do that with Jorgie coming up, which reminds me, we tied in picks this year. I just can't. Yeah, the most 2020 fashion, we tied in picks. NFL Pro Ducks, hey, good luck to all the Pro Ducks in the NFL playoffs this weekend. That's going to be awesome to watch. And how about Chris Boucher lately? 25-10-2 recently. Two blocks, that is. Keep it going, Pro Ducks. Have a good weekend. We'll see you Tuesday.
Whoa, long time no see. It's me, the Rock t-shirt in the back of your closet.
Dude, remember? You crowd surfed in me, man.
But you haven't worn me in like forever.
I get it, you're retired, but I still got some rock left in me.
So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
They say that car crashes happen in slow motion. The reality is that crashes happen fast. There's no time to think and no time to check if your child is in the right car seat. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Are your kids in the right seat for their age and size? Don't think you know. Know you know. Get more info at safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You've been listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield, IMG College presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.